On the campaign trail, Donald Trump had this to say about China.
We can't continue to allow China to rape our country, and that's what they're doing. It's the greatest theft in the history of the world.
Today, President Trump meets the president of China for the first time. On the table are discussions of trade, North Korea, and more. Former Washington State governor and former U.S. ambassador to China, Gary Locke, says this relationship between the U.S. and China may be the most important relationship in the world today.
On the economic side, we are the two largest economies of the world, and America depends so much on trade with China. China is America's number one export destination for all of our farm goods and processed foods. China exports more to America than to all of the EU countries combined. So millions and millions of jobs here in the United States, over 4.5 million jobs in the United States, depend on trade, two-way trade with China. And we have here in the Pacific Northwest tens of thousands of jobs that depend on exports made in America, made in Washington, goods and services and products that go to China.
And yet President Trump spent his campaign attacking America's trade policy with China. What do you expect out of this meeting?
Well, the president had made a lot of campaign promises and made a lot of accusations during the campaign on a number of topics. He's since walked back on some of that. So I think this meeting is very, very important. It's important for the two leaders to get to know each other, to kind of stake out their priorities, to take measure of each other, and to really talk about some of the tough issues separating the United States and China, such as trade. We've long had concerns that China is not affording a level playing field for U.S. and foreign firms in China. They're not as open to foreign investment and foreign companies the way that America is open to foreign companies, including from China. We have concerns about cybersecurity, intellectual property theft, and we're most concerned about what's happening in North Korea, and I think that's where the president's going to spend a lot of his time, because they know that North Korea is really surviving through the lifeline that China has provided them.
Yes, North Korea has once again launched a ballistic missile. President Trump has said that China would, quote, either decide to help us with North Korea or they won't, and the U.S. was prepared to go it alone. What does that mean? How would the U.S. go it alone with North Korea?
So when President Trump says, well, they might go it alone, he's got options of maybe economic sanctions, more economic sanctions against North Korea, maybe anybody in banks that deal with North Korea and helping them sell their military arms, which is a source of income for North Korea, to other countries. Maybe those entities, those businesses, those banks involved would be sanctioned and cut off from access to the U.S. financial markets, which is pretty severe. They could try to negotiate on its own, and it could actually, the United States could exercise a military option. But I think if you were to talk to military leaders in America, they would say that has to be the last resort, because if we were to launch an attack against North Korea, they would see it coming. I mean, they would see our ships amassing 200 miles offshore, and they would be on alert. And as soon as our ships fire cruise missiles or they see missiles on their radar scopes heading toward North Korea, North Korea would launch their thousands of other missiles that they have hidden all over the place and on mobile launchers. And it would be like Seattle firing a missile at Tacoma. The North Korean missiles would hit South Korea so much faster than American missiles could hit North Korea. And there would be utter devastation. Millions of people are in these cities just right next to the border to North Korea. And you'd have untold catastrophic casualties.
How seriously do you take reports that North Korea could hit Seattle with a missile?
Well, they don't have the capability yet of launching a nuclear weapon on top of a missile. They're still testing their missiles, and they're getting farther and farther every day, which is why this situation is so serious. And the leader of North Korea is so unpredictable and so ruthless. He's executed using anti-aircraft weapons. He's executed his own relatives, his own uncle, who was his advisor. He's executed family members. I mean, this guy is ruthless, unpredictable, which makes it very hard to figure out a strategy that would appeal to him and cause him to sit down and and talk and come to an agreement on how to stop the development of nuclear weapons.
What are our military leaders in Western Washington? And we have so many, as you know, Joint Base Lewis, McChord, and Bremerton, and Everett, and more. How are they watching this meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi?
Well, I'm sure all military people are watching it very carefully, especially to find out what the president meant when he says, well, we're prepared to go it alone. But various high-ranking military officials in the Trump administration, in the Pentagon, have actually said the key to solving this is involving China.
We're talking with the former Washington State Governor, Gary Locke. You were the ambassador to China. If you were at President Trump's elbow, what would you be advising him going into this meeting?
Well, really try to get to know President Xi and develop a working relationship, study the guy and understand what his priorities and what his challenges are within his own country. I'm sure President Xi of China is also trying to do the same thing or will try to do the same thing with President Trump, get to know him, see, try to understand what makes him tick, and see if there are ways in which the two can work together on a lot of common problems.
Will there be a trade war between the United States and China? What are the odds?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, President Trump has surrounded himself with a lot of economic advisors, trade representatives, and others who are very negative about China and have threatened a trade war. That would be disastrous for the American consumer. If the president moves forward on 45% tariffs on all Chinese goods coming into the United States, that's basically a 45% tax on all Chinese goods and would significantly raise the price of Chinese goods that Americans buy, whether it's our clothing, microwave ovens, tools at the hardware store, to toys, to electronics, to our iPhones, microwave ovens, you name it. And that'll hurt the pocketbooks of the Americans. At the same time, the Chinese will retaliate. They'll impose a tariff on all U.S. goods going to China, and that's going to hurt our farmers. Because, like I said earlier, China is the number one export destination of all of our agricultural output. So millions of jobs in America depend on exports to China.
Airplanes to apples.
And airplanes, apples, cherries, machinery, locomotives, power generating equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And that will cost a lot of jobs in America. 25% of all Boeing airplanes are sold to China. China doesn't have to buy Boeing, and if there's a trade war, they'll raise the tariffs, basically the cost of buying Boeing airplanes, and the airlines of China will just buy from Airbus.
We've been talking about concerns about the relationship going into this U.S.-China meeting. How could the Trump administration make the U.S.-China relationship better?
We certainly need more contacts and meetings between both countries, more exchanges, sending delegations of top U.S. government officials to China the way that President Obama did, and encouraging the Chinese to send delegations so that the military people can sit down and talk face-to-face and understand each other, talk about their issues, whether it's about the South China Sea or fighting piracy off the coast of Africa, which, by the way, China has been very, very helpful with in concert with the United States. And China actually has contributed more troops to U.N. peacekeeping forces than any other country. So there are many areas of common interest, fighting terrorism, to curing some of the most dreaded diseases, to even fighting the new re-emerging TB strains, which are now finding themselves resistant to the current medicines. So there's so much that the two countries can work together on.
You're watching this Trump-Xi meeting with such knowledge. The rest of us are just watching from afar, picking up clues. How should we watch this meeting unfold? What should we be looking for?
Oh, I think all of us are going to be trying to find out what the relevant clues are, because this is so unprecedented. You've got a president who, U.S. president, who doesn't really follow most protocols and is so unpredictable and uses very unusual language. Diplomatic talk in and of itself is always pretty gobbledygook anyway and hard to understand. And it sounds like, if to the average person, they're not saying anything. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, can they say something substantive? So I think what we'll really see is looking at body language, what seems to be the relationship and the comfort level, the ease that they have toward each other. And then we're really going to have to watch and read and examine all the different statements coming out after the meeting.
That's interesting. You're watching body language just like we are. Are you paying attention to the handshake and things like that?
Well, we know that they won't be playing golf.
Right.
Because President Xi Jinping has basically declared golf as a corrupting influence of the West, and Communist Party officials are not allowed to be playing golf or even members of a country club or anything like that. So we know they won't be playing golf. So how they try to establish a rapport is anyone's question.
Former state governor Gary Locke, former ambassador to China, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for coming on KUOW.
Oh, my pleasure.